Okay, good morning. The weekly shiur from Masechah Sukkah, the last shiur Masechah Sukkah for us, for now, is sponsored by Yitz Weiss CPA. Branch out in a new direction this next tax season. And the breakfast, as always, is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ilay Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And we are at the bottom Mishnah on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. This is, God willing, our Siyum. Shear for Masechah Sukkah. After 56 weeks or so, we're finally at the end, and that's very exciting. And we're going to start at the Mishnah, like I said, the Mishnah at the end of Nun Hei Amud Beis, and hopefully we'll make it to the end. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about, as the previous Mishnahs had been talking about, the responsibility of the various Mishmaros of the Avoda in the base of Mikdash. So as we know from previous Shurim, there are 24 Mishmaros. Each Mishmar had a week. They would go in a rotation of 24 weeks. So each Mishmar had a week. Every Mishmar was split into seven Batei Av. So there were seven Beis Av groups. And so each Beis Av was one day. So every, and they would just rotate it through. This way, every Kohen that was eligible for the Avodah got a chance to do the regular Avodos of the base of Mikdash. That included the Tamid of each day, and the Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Vrayim, the Musafin on Shabbos, etc. It included the Nadarim, the Nadavos, the optional Karbanos that various people would show up and bring. That was the regular Seder of the Avoda. But as our Mishnah is about to tell us, there was an exception to that rule. On the Regalim, on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, there was a lot more happening in the Beis Hamikdash. There were a lot more people there. There were a lot more karbanos. And so they would depart from the normal program of a mishmar a week. And instead, all of the Kohanim would get to participate. There was a lot more meat available because there was all these extra karbanos for the Shalosh Regalim and et cetera. So everyone kind of had a hand. They departed from the regular schedule, and that's our Mishnah. B'shlosha prakim l'shana, three times a year, meaning on the Shalosh Regalim, hayu kol mishmaros shavos, all of the mishmaros were equal, meaning they didn't just have one assigned mishmar to that week, all of the mishmaros participated. In what sense? Be'imurei ha-regalim, in the emurim, in the karbanos of the regalim, as Rashi explains, there were shalmei chagiga, and other things, and so each of the Shalmei Chagiga had skins that were the byproduct of that. They had the chaza and shok, which were the specific parts of the animal that would go exclusively to the Kohanim. And so all the Mishmaros got to participate in harvesting the oros and in getting the chaza and shok. But that's Beimurei Regalim. Not only that, but also Uvechiluk Lechem Hapanim. The lechem hapanim were the showbreads, the breads that were on the shulchan that would be transferred, that would be swapped out each Shabbos and would then last the whole week. And so at each Shabbos, they would take the breads off of the shulchan and the kohanim would get them or would split them up. And so what Rashi points out is if Yontif fell out on Shabbos, so then there was a swapping of the lechem hapanim that would take place on Yontif itself, because Yontif fell on Shabbos, and then all the mishmaros would participate because they would all be present for all these other karbanos. So they would all participate in the chiluk lechem hapanim. And then also be'atzeres on Shavuos, which is coming up. So there, in addition to the regular lechem hapanim, there was the shtei halechem that were brought. And there, they would also be distributed to all the Kohanim. So, Batzeres Omer Lo, Hegelach Matzah, Hegelach Chametz. They would say to the Kohanim, here's a piece of matzah, here's a piece of chametz. The matzah is referring to the lechem, the lechem apanim is matzah, right? The lechem apanim of every week throughout the year was matzah. And the shtei alechem of Shavuos was chametz. That was like a regular loaf of bread. And Rashi says, it's funny, the Mishnah says this in a lashon of helach matzah helach chametz. Why doesn't it just say they would distribute it evenly to the Kohanim? Rashi says that the Mishnah goes out of its way to say it in this way because you're not allowed to swap one. It's not all fungible, meaning the Kohanim will each be entitled to a certain portion of lechem upon him, and a certain portion of shtei lechem. You couldn't take a little more shtei lechem, right, in deference to the Lechem HaPanim, you'd have to get your portion. So they would say, okay, very exactly, here's your chametz portion, referring to the Lechem HaPanim, and here's your, I'm sorry, to the Shtei Lechem, and here's your matzah portion, referring to the Lechem HaPanim. They would mete it out with exactitude to each of the Kohanim. So that's what it's saying here. So for all these things, the Emur, Aragom, all the various karbanos, for the Lechem HaPanim, for the Shtei Lechem, when it came to the regalim, you departed from the normal rule of one mishmar each week, and all the Kohanim would participate. And then it says, however, mishmar shezmano kavua, hu makruv tamidim nedarim unedavos ushar karban osivor umakruv esakol. However, when it came to the right, so that is as far as the special things that pertain specifically to the Sholosh Regalim, the special karbanos, where they would get the oros, the skins, and the chaz of ashok of those karbanos, and as we said, they would get the lechem apanim and shtei lechem. But when it came to the tamidim, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arbayim, and the nedarim and nedavos, the regular order of karbanos, so there they wouldn't, all the kohanim wouldn't participate. It would go specifically to the mishmar whose turn it was, that they would be entitled to those. Not only to those, but also Vishar Karbanos Tzibor, to other, which the Gemara is going to explain later what Karbanos we're talking about specifically, and also Umakar Vesakol, the Gemara will explain later what we're referring to specifically. But basically for everything other than the Lechem Panim, Shtei Lechem, and the Karbanos of the Regalim. So the Gemara now just scrutinizes the lashon that the Mishnah had used for the karbanos of the regalim. It said be'imure haragalim. So the Gemara says emure haragalim. Emure haragalim refers usually to the parts that are burnt, to the innards. Emurim haragalim shel gavoa ninu. Kohanim weren't getting any part of the emurim. The Kohanim were only getting the oros, the skins, and maybe the chaz of ashok of some of these karbanos. But the emurim, the innards, were being burnt on the mizbeach. They were going to Hashem. They were going to the mizbeach. So what is it saying that the kohanim would all equally participate in the emurim? Amar Rav Chisda, he clarifies, Masha Amur Beragolim. Emurim, in this sense, doesn't refer to the traditional sense of emurim of the innards, but rather, Masha Amur Beragolim, what the psukim refer to as the karban is brought on the regalim. Meaning it's just another way of saying the karbanos of the regalim, and the kohanim would receive what they were entitled to from those karbanos. Okay, what's the scriptural source for this whole thing? You have to keep in mind, there's a machlokas or rishonim as to what the origin of the whole system of the mishmaros was, right? Why was it that you had these 24 groups? Is that a deraisa thing? Did the pesukim talk about it? So, first of all, the number 24 mishmaros was a later enactment. I think it wasn't until Shmuel's time that the number rose to 24. In the earlier days, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of the Mishkan, I think it was 8 mishmaros, and they were maybe 7, whatever. It was a lower number. And then as time went on, the time of David HaMelech, the time of Shmuel and David HaMelech, they raised the number, ultimately ended up with 24. And I think it's a machlokes Rishonim as to whether this is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or it's based on Psukim or if it's all a rabbinic enactment. But the point is, it was a very early enactment. So already from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were already doing it in shifts. Not every Kohen would show up every morning at the Beis Mikdash. They would have these mishmaros that would partake in the karbanos. And so on that basis, the Gemara now is going to quote Psukim that explain what the basis is for this idea of departing from the mishmar system for the regalim. How do we know what our Mishnah said, that when it comes to the Sholosh Regalim, all the Mishmaros participate rather than just the Mishmar whose turn it is that week? Talking about the Regalim, it says that they would come b'chol avas nafsho, the pasuk continues, v'sheris k'chol achiv. The idea is that no mishmar could be ma'akev on any other mishmar. Every kohen had a right, by right, to participate in the avoda of the shalosh regalim. So that's the pasuk that teaches that. Yachol af b'shar yimos hashana. Maybe we should learn with like a binyan av or something that this pasuk applies to regalim, so maybe it should apply to all year long, that no kohen has the right to to precede any other kohen. Every kohen has an equal right to participate in the avodah on every day of the year. Talmud Lomer me'achad sharecha. It says in that pasuk, me'achad sharecha. Lo amarti al b'shash shekol Yisrael nichnasim b'shar echad. This pasuk, which says that all the kohanim have a right, pertains only to that time of year when all of Israel, when all Klal Yisrael would come b'shar echad, which Rashi means to one city, meaning to Yerushalayim. The one time a year when all the nation came to Yerushalayim, that's when this pasuk is applicable, where it says that all kohanim have equal right to the avodah. But the implication is that any other time of year when all of Klal Yisrael is not there all at once, so then you would split it up, and each mishmar would have a right for a different week.
Yeah. The other kohanim come just on Yom Tov. They wouldn't come for the whole entire week of Shavuot, let's say. If Shavuot is in the middle of the week, they come on a Sunday, or would they come just on Yom Tov itself? They have to get there.
I guess they would just like everyone else. They would come for the regalim, so they'd come ahead of time. They'd travel and they'd show up for Yom Tov. Yeah, yeah. The Gemara is gonna next mission is gonna talk about. Expanding it to Shabbos. Let's say it was a 3-day Yontif, so then you have to expand. We'll see that in the next Mishnah. Okay, but that's the scriptural source for that. Okay, the Gemara then says, the quotes from the Mishnah, "V'chiluk lechem apanim." So we said that when it came to that weekly bread, the show bread that was switched every Shabbos, that also, if Shabbos fell out on Yontif, they would all participate in that. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin, Shekola Mishmaros Shavos Bechiluk Lechem Apanim. How do we know, again, what's the pasuk that teaches you that, right, the first pasuk that we were in, Uva Bechol Vasnav Show, is talking about the regular karbanos of the Yomim Tovim, of the Regalim. But how do we know that this rule applies not only to the karbanos, but also to the Lechem Apanim that was split up, that even there, if it falls out on Yontif, all the Mishmaros participate? Talmud Lomar, Chelak kechelak yochelu. This is a continuation of that very same pasuk. Kechelak avoda, kach chelak achila. So the double lashon of chelak teaches you, just like the avoda was shared equally among all the kohanim on the regalim, so too the eating. What eating is this referring to? Umai achila. And what yochelu is this referring to? Ilema karbanos. If it's talking about the achila of the karbanos, mehasam nafka. We already learned that from another pasuk, "Lakoyin amakrivosa lo siyeh." If the pasuk of Bechol Avasnaf Show is teaching us that all the kohanim participate in the avoda of all the karbanos, so then we already know that they participate in the eating equally of all the karbanos, because there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says that any kohen that participates in an avoda gets to participate in the eating. So what's this extra pasuk in the top of our daf here of chiluk kichiluk yochelu, saying that they all participate equally in the eating? Ela lechem apanim, right? It must be referring to the lechem apanim, that they get to eat equally in the lechem apanim. That's what it's coming to teach you. Yachol af bechovo saboz shalom achmas regel beregel. So now that we've learned that on the Yushalosh Regalim, the Kohanim participate equally and eat equally in all the Avodos and in this Lechem Apanim, maybe they should also participate equally in the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is brought, right? The Tamid Shel Shachar is brought not only on a weekday, but it's also brought on the Regal. So maybe once we're saying, based on these Pesukim, that the Kohanim all participate equally in the Yontif Karbanos, maybe they also participate in the Tamid of the Shachar and Tamid Shel Barabayim and Musafim, etc. So the Gemara says, no, there's a miut there, Tamid Lomer Levad Mimkarav Al HaOvos, that there's part of the Avoda that is separate, right? I mean, the Pasuk of Uvav B'chol Vasnav Sho V'Sheres is distinguished from the other Avoda, which follows the normal pattern of the Avos, of the forefathers. Machru havo ze la ze, ani b'shavasai, v'ata b'shavasecha. Mina ala avos means the traditional way that the avoda was split up, referring to the mishmaros, that the avos, meaning our forefathers, going back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they split up the avoda based on this mishmar system, that each mishmar had karbanos 1 week, and they would go through that system. So the fact that the pasuk says levad mimkarav alavos teaches you that you're still preserve that system even on regalim, when we're generally breaking the rule and saying that all the kohanim have a right to all the karbanos brought on the regel, but we're saying that no, that's only true with the karbanos pertaining to the regel itself, but the regular karbanos that are coming every day still follow the system of the mishmaros. Okay. The Gemara had said, "Batzeres Omer lo he." I'm sorry. The Mishnah had said, "Batzeres Omer lo helach." So that on Atzeres, where you had the shtei halechem and the lechem upon him, so the where it falls on Shabbos, but so the Mishnah had said that each of the kohanim is distributed a piece of chametz and a piece of matzah pertaining to the shtei halechem and the lechem upon him. So the Gemara is going to ask a question on the order of that. The chametz, specifically that it says matzah first and then chametz. But to get to that question, we're going to switch topics momentarily, briefly, or temporarily. So Itmar, the Gemara quotes a memra, a machlokus between Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rav Amar, sukkah v'achar kach zman. When we sit down on the first day of Yontif, at sukkahs, so we say Kiddush. After we say Kiddush, we say, "Asher kiddushanim mitzvoso zvanu leishay basukkah." We make a bracha on the sukkah, on the mitzvah, just like any other mitzvah, we make a bracha. And then, as part of that whole thing, we're also throwing in a shechianu. The shechianu is really a shechianu on Yontif, but in a way, it's also a shechianu on the sukkah. And so, the question is, which comes first, the bracha on the sukkah or the shechianu? If you remember, we actually flip it day one, day two, right, the second day. Because the idea generally, we assume that Shechianu on the first day is covering the Leishay B'Sukkah also. But that's kind of tied into this machlokas here. Which comes first? Is it the bracha on the Sukkah, or is it the Shechianu that comes first? So it turns out it's a machlokas. Rav says, Sukkah v'achar kach zman. First you make a Shechianu v'Shanu M'Sosu v'Sanu Leishay B'Sukkah. And then you say, Shechianu v'Kimanu v'Gyanu azman azeh. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar, Zman V'achar Kach Sukkah. So he says, first you say Shechianu, and then you make a bracha on the Sukkah. And we're going to explain why each one holds what he holds. Rav Amar Sukkah V'achar Kach Zman. He holds the Sukkah come first, because Chiyuva D'yuma Adif. Because Sukkah pertains to that specific day. And so we're going to do that first. The chiyuv that's particular to that day, we're excited about the fact that we're sitting in a sukkah, that's more pertinent, that's more relevant to what we're doing, and so we say that first, and then we have a kind of a catch-all bracha of shechianu that we're used to saying. We say that when we need a new fruit, we say that when we wear a new suit, we would say that three times a year on Shalosh Regalim, and so that comes second. But primarily, we're going to make the bracha on the sukkah. That's Rav's position. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar, Zman V'achar Kach Sukkah. He says you say Shechianu first. Why? Tadir V'sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So Rabba Bar Chana says that we're going to employ the rule of Tadir V'sheinu Tadir, which is to say that when you have something that's a more frequent occurrence or a more frequent observance, the more frequent observance comes first when you're faced with the choice. And so since Shechianu is a bracha that's said much more frequently throughout the year than the bracha of Leishay Basukkah, so he rules Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. That's the rule that he applies. So the Gemara now proposes, Lema Rav V'Rabba Bar Bar Chana B'Plugsa D'Beis Shammai U'Beis Hillel K'Mefulgei. We want to now propose that this machlokas about the order of Sukkah versus Zman, Leishay Basukkah versus Shechianu, lays you could kind of lay it over a separate machlokas in a different context, and the shittos will fit perfectly. One tana holds like one tana holds like another. There's another model of a machlokas that tracks this machlokas directly. What's that machlokas? The following braisa, the Tana Rabbanim. Devarim shebein Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel besuda. There are a bunch of things where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree when it comes to suda. And one of them is, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mavarich al Hayom, V'achar Kach Mavarich al Hayayim. When you say your Kiddush on Yontif, or even on Friday night for that matter, so Beis Shammai says, first the bracha comes about the day, Mekadish Yisrael V'Azmanim, the whole long bracha that we make our Yontif Kiddush, And then you say your bari prayer gafen. Now we know that's not what we do, because we paskin like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel omrim, mavarich al yain, you say baruch Hashem okein lecham, bari prayer gafen. And then you say baruch Hashem okein asher bachar banim mikolam, right? So v'achar kach mavarich al hayom. First you do yain, and then you say yom. This is true on Friday night also. First you say a few psukim, but then when it comes to the brachos, you say bari prayer gafen. And then you say the Mekadish HaShabbos bracha. So we paskin like Beis Hillel that the Yayin comes first and then the Yom. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai's position is you say Mevarich al Hayom, V'achar Kach Mevarich al Yayin. First do the bracha on the day and then the wine. Shayom Goreim L'Yayin Shiavo. The whole reason why you're saying Kiddush is because it's a Yontif. So it makes sense that you're going to dig in first to the day, you're going to make the Iker Bracha on the Yom, and then it's got to be said al kos, so we throw in a Bori Pira Gafen, and then you drink your wine. There's a kind of intuitive logic to that, says Beis Shammai. And furthermore, Rashi says, this is the second answer, Ukfar Kidesh Hayom, Vadayin Yayin Loba. And he says, if you look at it kind of astronomically, what happened first? First, Yontif set in with sunset, it's Yontif. No one's talked about Kiddush, and it's only when you come home from shul that you pull Kiddush, the wine out of the refrigerator, that's when the wine appears. So if you look at it kind of chronologically, sequentially, Yontif happened first, and then you introduce the wine to the picture. And so that's why it says to Beis Shammai, you should say the bracha on the yom, and then the bracha on the wine. And Beis Hillel has a different approach. Beis Hillel omrim, mevarich al yayin, v'achakach mevarich al yom, wine comes first, Shayayin goreim l'kiddusha shatayamar. The whole reason why we're saying Kiddush is because there's wine. He says to Beis Shammai, look, if you want to talk about what's intuitive and what's chronological, we're saying Kiddush because you have wine. If you didn't have wine, you wouldn't say Kiddush. Rashi points out, if you don't have wine, you say it on the pas, on the bread, but still, even there, the pas comes first. You don't say this bracha kind of doesn't work without saying it on some kind of food item. And so since the bracha is derived from the food item, since the bracha is caused by the food item, you say the bracha on the food item first, and then you say the bracha on the item. If you think of that, if you're going to follow the chronology, Beis Shammai probably is the better argument. Right?
Say, but it's more
yeah, a little more convincing. But this is what Beis Hillel says. Yayin gorim l'kedusha shatayamar. You don't say this Kiddush until the yayin comes. So the yayin is kind of what you're... I guess another way of thinking about it is that if Kiddush is a wine activity, a wine-based activity, so you say your bracha, and then you tuck into the ritual the bracha on the yom, and then you drink the wine. You kind of sandwich it in between. Okay, that's one thing. But then he adds the following, Dover Acher, Birkas Hayayin Tadira, Ubirkas Hayom Eina Tadira. Wine is said much more frequently than Kiddush, because wine, every time you pop out a bottle, I guess this depends on how often you drink wine. Some of us only drink wine when they say Kiddush. But other people drink wine more often. So certainly the opportunity for wine appears more frequently. Tadir v'sheino, tadir kodem. Whenever you have a competing thing, something that's more frequent and less frequent, the more frequent thing comes first. And so that, says Beis Hillel, is another reason why the wine should come first. Say the bracha on the wine, and then say the bracha on the day. So the Gemara now proposes, let's lay on our machlokas that we had about sukkah and the order of the brachos in the sukkah to this bracha, to this machlokas. Lema Rav, let's propose that Rav, who again said, make your leishev basukkah first and your shiachianu second, d'amar k'beis shamai. He sounds like Beis Shammai, because if, again, throwing out the whole back and forth about the yayin goring liyom shetavo or yayin goring l'kiddush shetayomer, etc., what we whittled it down to in the Davar Acher was that maybe the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is exclusively a machlokas about tadir v'sheino tadir kodem. And Beis Hillel said, make your bracha on wine first and the day second, because wine is more tadir, it's more frequent. Tadr v'sheinu tadr kodem. And so now we're proposing that Rav, who said, make your bracha on the sukkah, and then make your shechyanu, he was rejecting Tadir. Just like Beis Shammai doesn't really pay much attention to Tadir Vashena, Tadir Kodim in the Machlokas about the wine and the Kiddush. So Lema Rav Damar Beis Shammai, maybe Rav doesn't care so much about Tadir, and so he's aligned with Beis Shammai. V'Rabba Bar Bar Chana, but Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who above also we said is based on the idea possibly of Tadir Vashena, Tadir Kodim, so he is aligned with Beis Hillel, who also liked the idea of Tadir Visheino Tadir Kodim. They kind of align nicely. Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Beis Hillel, they both hold that you go with the more frequent bracha first. That's what the Gemara proposes. So the Gemara now kind of answers up each side and says, no, actually these two machloksim are not, they don't go in tandem. They don't lay over neatly over each other. Because the truth is, Tadir Visheino Tadir Kodim isn't necessarily the winning formula here, or what motivated each position in that machlokas Beis Shammai uVeis Hillel. Armelcha Rav. So Rav says, don't link me up with Beis Shammai, right? Rav takes this as a challenge because we generally are paskening like Beis Hillel. So Rav has to kind of defend himself and say, no, I'm not going exclusively with Beis Shammai. I don't hold what I hold because I don't hold of Tadir necessarily. That's not what's motivating Beis Shammai. Armelcha Rav, anada amri afiluku Beis Hillel. I hold like Beis Hillel, because Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Hillel Hasam in the Machlokes about the order of the wine and the day in the Kiddush Machlokes about Beis Shammai, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel held to his position that the wine comes first, not necessarily because of Tadir Vashenu Tadir Kodem, right? Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Hillel Hasam El Shayayin Goreim L'Kiddusha Shetayomer, as he himself articulated. Beis Hillel's motivation was that the wine causes the Kiddush to be said. That's the why the wine comes first. Avahacha, ilavs man miu amrinan sukkah. But that's not an analysis that's applicable to this sequence of brachos of the sukkah and the shechianu, because the sukkah and shechianu brachos are completely independent. Even if I didn't have shechianu, even if I had already said shechianu in shul for some reason, like we say in Yom Kippur, right? If I had completely untethered Shechianu from Kiddush, I still would have made a bracha on the sukkah. The sukkah is not tied to the bracha of Shechianu, right? Unlike the wine Kiddush machlokas, where Beis Hillel was motivated by saying that the wine is the cause of this bracha, of saying Kiddush, and therefore wine comes first and the yom comes second. When it comes to Shechianu and sukkah, they're completely unrelated. They're just two brachos that you say, and therefore, that's why I say, or that's why I'm not wedded to this idea of, you know, of Beis Shammai. V'Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Lecha, Anada Amri Afilu Beis Shammai, says Rabba Bar Chana, while we're at it, I'll explain to you that my shita, where I said Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Kodem, with respect to the sukkah and the Shechianu, I could even be consistent with Beis Shammai, who rejected that idea in the wine context. Ad kam lo amri Beis Shammai hasam el shayom goreim liyayin shiavo. Again, there the analysis that we explained Beis Shammai based on was kind of the sequence, or what the causation was, that the day caused the Kiddush to be said, and therefore the day should come first, and then the yayin should be said second. Avahacha ilav sukkah mu amrinan zman. Here, sukkah and shechianu have nothing to do with each other. That analysis falls away, and therefore, I'm going to now pick up on the tadir v'sheino tadir idea. The point is that the Gemara concludes that what appeared to be a machlokas that looked to be integrated, that looked to track one another, is completely severable. You can, in theory, say that they are tied together if you're going to focus in on the tadir idea, but on the other hand, each of the Shitos can kind of argue that they're not, they don't track each other, those two machlokasim, because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, each in the context of the wine machlokas, threw in a different explanation that was unrelated to Tadir, and therefore they're not necessarily related, those two machlokasim. But the bottom line is, Rav says, say your bracha on the sukkah, leishe basukkah, and then say the bracha of Shechianu, and we'll see in a moment who we paskin like. Oh, so one second. So that all this was kind of an intro to our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah, was completely unrelated to this. So why are we talking about this machlokas at all? So now the Gemara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Tanan, our Mishnah said, Be'atzeres, Omer lo heilach matzah, heilach chametz. So on Atzeres, where we're distributing the lechem hapanim and the shtei halechem, so again, the lechem hapanim was chametz. The shtei halechem is matzah. The shtei halechem comes only once a year on Shavuos. So here, what happened? We are saying, Omer lo, heilach matzah, heilach chametz. It sounds like we're distributing the Shabbos portion first, right? It sounds like we're distributing the Shabbos portion first. V'ahacha, the chametz ikar. And yet, if you look at kind of what's going on here, the main service of the day is not the lechem apanim, the matzah. The main service of the day is the shtei alechem that pertains to Shavuos exclusively. It's the shtei alechem. So if the main service of the day is the chametz, so v'acha the chametz ikar umatzah tafel, and the matzah, which happens every year, every week, but not only that, but it's last week's, it's like the matzah that's being distributed is last week's matzah, right? It's the end of the cycle. You're putting a new lechem, upon him on the shulchan today. This is just this is kind of an afterthought. You're distributing last week's matzah. So if we have to figure out which is coming first, we have on the one hand, you have the shtei alechem of today. That's everyone's excited about Shavuos. It's the shtei alechem. That's the ikar of what's going on. And then you have the distribution of the old lechem upon him from last week. So which should come first? You'd think that the chametz should come first. The shtei alechem should come first, not the lechem apanim. The shtei alechem, which is the focus, the ikar of what's going on today, that should come first. And yet, the katani heilach matzah, the heilach chametz, and yet we're saying distribute the matzah first. Why might that be? The answer is because tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem, and so therefore tziyufta derav. It sounds like tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem is a ascendant analysis, meaning we'll go with that over any other analysis, right? Rav had said that the reason you say sukkah and then shechianu is because sukkah is what you're excited about. That's the order of the day. Sukkah is what's going on. That's the ikar. And shechianu is tafel because that happens all the time, or it's whatever. It's not what you're focused on right now. And yet, in our Mishnah, we seem to be saying that you set aside the ikar, don't focus on the shtei alechem, focus instead on the lechem upon him, presumably because tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem. And so if our Mishnah is embracing the idea of tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem over the idea of which is the ikar, that seems to be a contradiction to Rav Shita. Rav had focused on what the ikar is. Right, he said, sukkah v'achar kach zman. So this Mishnah is a tiyufta derav. This Mishnah clearly shows that tadir v'sheno tadir, tadir kodem, wins out over the ikar. Tadir is more important than ikar.
During the week of Pesach, the lechem apanim would be chametz?
Because
it seems as if over here they only brought the matzah during Shavuos, not during
Pesach. No, it was the other way around. The Shavuos was the shtei lechem. That was chametz.
Uh-huh.
The lechem apanim was
the matzah
from yeah, right. Right, yeah, yeah. Like Sephardi, mm-hmm. Sephardi matzah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. So this seems to be a problem for Rav. How is Rav going to get out of the fact that our Mishnah embraces Tadir when he seemed to be embracing Iker? So Amar Ocha Rav, Tanoihi. Actually, that's true that our Mishnah embraces Tadir, but not everyone embraces Tadir. Titania, we have a brisa that says, Heilach matzah, heilach chametz. So our Mishnah embraced Tadir, the Tanakhama of this brisa is consistent with our Mishnah, which says, Heilach matzah, heilach chametz. Tadir trumps, Tadir wins. However, Abba Sholom, there's another opinion in that brisa that says, Heilach chametz, heilach matzah. Abba Sholom is my man, I'm going to attach myself to Abba Sholom. He says, chametz comes first, meaning the shtei halechem of Shavuos, because that's the ikar. And I, Rav, hold like Avishol that the Iker is Iker, the Iker comes first, and that's why I say Sukkah, V'achar Kach Zman, Sukkah is the bracha you say first. Darsh Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, Lo K'divrei Rav, so he said, we don't hold like Rav, D'amr Sukkah, V'achar Kach Zman, El Zman V'achar Kach Sukkah. So Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista paskind like Rabba Bar Bar Chana, that first you say Shechyanu, and then you say Leishe B'Sukkah. For Rav Sheshes Breid to Rav Idi Amar Sukkah V'achar Kach Zman. Similarly, Rav Sheshes, not similarly, but Rav Sheshes Breid to Rav Idi says, first you say Sukkah, and then you say Zman, just like Rav. V'Hilchasa Sukkah V'achar Kach Zman. The halacha is that we make the bracha on the Sukkah, and then we say the Shechyanu, which is what we do on the first night of Pesach. Sukkot. That's what the correction was. Sukkot, correct. We don't say Gleishev Sukkot on Pesach. We only say it on Sukkot. But that's how we do. We pass on like Rav. Tosfos says, what's going on here? We just brought a Mishnah that seemed to say against Rav, right? Rav has it had his answer that I hold like the minority opinion of Avishol because there's another Brisa. But why are we passing like Rav when we have a Mishnah that is a Stam Mishnah that seems to pass in against Rav? What's going on here? Right, that's the bottom Tosos. V'lo chayshinim l'stam asnisin, dekatani heilach matzah heilach chametz, inami chashiv nami lechem apanim chovas hayom, afal pi shehem mishabes she'avra. So Tosos says, okay, maybe the lechem apanim is a ikar kind of thing, even though it's left over from last week. I mean, generally when we have Rav against the Mishnah, we say Rav Tanahu Palig. Right. Rav is not necessarily beholden to the Mishnahis because he was such an early Amora that we sometimes just, we'll pass him like him regardless. And so but anyway, Tosfos kind of points out that there's a tension between Rav and the Mishnah.
Shlomo, when we conclude with where it says Mehilchata,
yeah,
is that coming, it seems to probably be coming later by the Stama'im.
That might be, yeah.
Because otherwise, you have this multi-century, multiple practices that are taking place.
Yeah. Yeah, that could very well be. I don't know. I mean, it was clearly part of the, the putting together of the Gemara. But you're right. The Gemara is kind of this dialogue going on. It's taking place over a lot of time. And then the Hilka says either Ravina or Ravashi, or maybe it could be, yeah. Maybe the Sevarim, etc. Okay. The Gemara now quotes the last piece of that Mishnah. If you remember, Mishmar Shizmano Kavua, right, we said that things other than the things pertaining to the Regalim or the Shtei Lechem or the Lechem Apanim, that does go to the Mishmar whose week it is. So what's it talking about specifically when it says Vishar Karbanos Sibur, Lasuye Mai, what Karbanos are we talking about? Lasuye Par Helam Davar Shel Sibur, right, in the rare event where Bezdin has made a mistake in a psak, and all of Klal Yisrael followed that psak, they'd have to bring this par helam davar shel tzibur. So that's what it's referring to. The mishmar of that week would be responsible for that. V'sirei avodas kolchavim, and also v'sirei avodas kolchavim, if they were people were oved avodah zarah, so that sayer would be brought by the mishmar of that week. V'humakrav v'zakol, and then finally the mishnah had another thing that also. That Mishmar would bring everything. L'siyemai, what it's talking about? What's it talking about? L'siyei kaitz ha-mizbeach. There was a special fund that would be brought, that would be used to pay for additional animals that would go on the mizbeach when the mizbeach was vacant, when it was kind of when there weren't the darvin and davos being brought on the mizbeach. They wanted to keep things going on the mizbeach, and so they'd bring additional karbanos based on this fund that was a communal fund. It's referring to that. The Mishmar of that particular day would do that. Okay, I realize now we're running out of time. We've got to pick up the pace. The Mishnah says, Yom Tov HaSamach HaShabbos, Bein Milfanea, Bein LaAchareha, Hayu Kol Mishmaros Shavos, B'Chiluk Lechem HaPanim. So we just said that when it came to the Regalim, the Shalosh Regalim, all the Mishmaros partook in that. It didn't just go to the Mishmar of that week. And the Mishnah now is expanding that and saying, not only is that true, but even on what we refer to as a three-day Yontif, if Yontif was either the last day of Yontif was Friday, and then it went to a non-Yontif day of Shabbos, right? Shabbos was now Yom Yontif, but it flowed from Yontif to Shabbos. The last day of Yontif was Friday and now Shabbos is Shabbos, or the other way around, the first day of Yontif was Sunday, so you it was preceded by a Shabbos of non-Yontif, right? What we refer to as three-day Yontovim. So in all those situations, all there too, we would have all the Kohanim participate, and the reason why was because all the Kohanim were there, right? There's no reason to really distinguish between a regular Yontif and the preceding or proceeding Shabbos. All the Kohanim would participate. However, slightly different than that, Chalios Yom Echad Lahafsik Ben Taim, let's say Yontif fall out on Monday. So you had a Shabbos, then a day of Chol, so the Kohanim could go home, but maybe some of them moved far away and they hung around. In that instance, they came early. Maybe some of the Kohanim lived far away, so they came already from Friday for the Monday Yontif. So there were a lot of extra Kohanim around for Shabbos. So on the back end, let's say Yontif ends on Thursday, and now there's a Shabbos coming up, so a lot of the Kohanim who lived far away would stick around for Friday and Shabbos, even though they could have gone home. So in those situations, Chalios Yom Echad Lahafsik Bein Taim, Mishmer Shizmano Kavua Haya Notel Eser Chalos, V'Misakev Notel Shtayim. So normally the Mishmer would receive all 12 loaves, but here we would delegate two loaves to the extra Kohanim that were sticking around that wasn't necessarily their Mishmer. So the Mishmer, whose turn it was, would go, but the other Kohanim that were sticking around who came early for Yontif would be entitled to a portion of it, the two. V'shari Mos Hashanah, how did it work normally? Every Shabbos, V'shari Mos Hashanah, Hanichnas Notel Sheish, Vayotzei Notel Sheish. Keep in mind, the Mishmer would swap on Shabbos. So Shabbos was the day they were distributing these Lechem Apanim. So the incoming Mishmer would get six of them, and the outgoing would get six. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hanichnas Notel Sheva, Vayotzei Notel Chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda says it was not exactly split six and six, but the incoming one would get seven, and the outgoing one would get five. We'll explain in the Gemara why. Hanichnasim Cholkin B'Tzafon, Vayotzim B'Darim. They would distribute the Lechem Hapanim to the incoming one in the Tzafon. The Tzafon was the more chashiv part of the Azara because that's where the Karbanos were brought. So they would get it in the Tzafon. And then to signify that these were the outgoing guys, they would give it to them in the slightly less chashiv part to show that they're kind of less chashiv, they're on their way out. They would get their distribution on the south part.
This is on
Erev
Shabbat.
This is on...
Wait, could they be transitioning on Friday?
Oh, it was on Friday? I thought it was Shabbat. It was Friday?
Because how can they be coming on Shabbat?
Okay. Does anyone know? They have the. I thought it was Shabbos. No. No, Mischav is b'Shabbos. They would switch Shabbos between the Shacharis and the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. That's what Rashi says. Before Shmar, Shemishmaros Mischavos b'Shabbos. Zu Avedas Shacharis, Zu Avedas Arvis. Yeah, they would switch on Shabbos. Unless someone has something different, but I think that's what Rashi says. Okay. Shabbos, yeah, okay. So that's when they would switch. Okay. Finally, the Mishnah says, Bilga, there was one Mishmar called Bilga. We olam chalakas bedarom. Even when they were incoming, they would get their distribution in the south to show that they were less. Something bad happened, we'll see. But tabata kavua, not only that, but they had these rings and they would shech the karbanos by kind of, the ring would kind of swing around and grab the neck of the animal. And for their ring, it was kind of bolted in, so it couldn't swing around and grab the neck. And therefore, they had a shech their kabanos in someone else's ring, meaning they made their rings not work very well. They had to use other people's rings for the shechita. Not only that, the chalona stuma, they would have these windows, these cubbies, where they would put their shechita knives, and they plastered up their knife, their window, to, again, make them feel unwelcome, and they had, I guess, put their knives somewhere else. They didn't have a good place to put their knives. We'll see what was so bad about this Mishmar Bilga that they got punished in these ways. The Gemara says, "My milufanel, my lachra." We're just clarifying the language of this three-day yontif. What's going on? Ilei milufanel yom tov rishon lachra yom tov achron. Is it talking about where the yontif actually falls on yontif? Not haynu Shabbos shebetocha chag. That would be talking about where the Shabbos is on yontif itself. Ella, as we explained before, el lufanel yom tov achron. V'acharei Yom Tov Rishon. Lefaneh refers to the situation where Yom Tov Achron falls out on Friday, and then you have a Shabbos, which is no longer Yontif. And La'acharei Yom Tov Rishon, La'acharei means that the Yontif the first day of Yom Tov fell out on a Sunday, which means that the Shabbos preceding it wasn't a Yom Tov, but again, it was a 3-day. My time, and why would you, all the Mishmaros, participate even in this Shabbos that wasn't a Yom Tov? Kevan dahani makdimi vahani ma'achrei, because the Kohanim would have to come earlier or later, meaning they would leave later, meaning because Shabbos was attached to a Yom Tov, the Kohanim couldn't travel. So therefore, tiknu rabbanim milsa ki hechi denichlu ba'dei adadi. So we made as a takanah drabbanim, we helped these Kohanim out so they would have extra food to eat, so they would get at least a little portion. He said, chal yom tov, this is the Mishnah we just explained. Vani tarte mai aviditayu. So now we're focusing on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say that when they did the switch of the Mishmaros, you didn't split it 6 and 6, but rather you split it 7 and 5, so that one Mishmar, meaning the incoming Mishmar, was the incoming Mishmar? Yes, the incoming Mishmar got 2 more than the outgoing Mishmar. Why wasn't it equal? Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bischar HaGafas Dolasos, that the reason why the incoming Mishmar, I'm sorry, yeah, the reason why the outgoing Mishmar got 2 fewer, got 5 rather than 7, was because the incoming Mishmar was going to end up closing the gates that the outgoing Mishmar had opened, right? Because the transition is taking place in the middle of the day between Tamid Shor Shachar and Tamid Shor Abayim. So at the beginning of the Avodah, in the morning, the outgoing Mishmar opened the doors, opened the gates, and now they're going to leave. They're not going to close the gates because the Avodah is still going on, and the incoming Mishmar is going to close their gates. And in theory, what would have been fair was that if you open the gates, you have to close the gates. It takes effort to open gates to close gates, so the gates that you opened, you should have closed. And yet, here is this Mishmar leaving without having closed the gates, and the incoming Mishmar is going to close the gates on their behalf, and so therefore, we're going to award extra bread to the incoming in order to pay them for the effort of closing the gates that the outgoing had left open. That's what the Gemara says. But so the Gemara says, "V'neimale dal bedal." That seems a little silly. Why don't we just say, look, all these Kohanim are in a rotation. Each one is going to be back again. And it's true that the incoming has to now close the gates on behalf of the outgoing. But on the back end, this same incoming is going to be the outgoing next week. They're going to leave gates open and someone else is going to close their gates. So why don't you just like say everything's equal? It all evens out. The Gemara says, Amar Abayi Botsina Tava Mikra. So as Rashi explains this is like a mashal that says, if you're offered something now, like let's say you're offered a gourd that's growing in the ground and it's still very small and it's going to grow bigger. If you're offered the opportunity to grab this gourd now, you want to grab the gourd now because who knows what's going to happen. Meaning if something is offered to you now, like payment for closing the gates now, you're not going to defer that payment because later on you're going to reciprocate by closing the gates or by leaving gates open that someone else is going to close. If there's a payment to be paid now, you grab it at the earliest opportunity. Rav Yehuda of Musafin Cholkin. So Rav Yehuda now adds that not only did they split these things, but they also split the Musaf, the Oros of the Musaf. The Gemara says that's a problem because we have a brace that doesn't seem to say that. Meisvei, Mishmara Yotzeis Osa Tamid Shor Shachar, the leaving Mishmar, the Mishmar that left, would do the Shachar. Musafin, I'm sorry, Tamid Shor Shachar U'Musafin, they would do the morning and the Musaf. Mishmaris HaNichneses Osa Tamid Shor Ben Arabayim, that was when the transition would take place, and the incoming would do the afternoon karban. Ubazichin and the frankincense that was brought together with the lechem apanim. Vigul musafin cholkin lo katani. But here it doesn't say that they split the yield of the musaf, that they split the oros of the musaf. So that sounds like it's against Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the two mishmaros split the musaf. Gemara says, haitan b'chaluko kamayri. The answer is no. This brace is only talking about what avoda they did. It doesn't say what they got, what they split. And so it's not a question of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rava, Va'atana de Shmuel, Demayir Bechaluka, Uv Musafin Cholkin Lo Katani. But there's another Braisa, namely Tana de Shmuel, who says a similar thing, And they also talking about what each one gets, and they do leave out the Musaf, which is a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. How do we see that? The Tana of Devir Shmuel, Mishmara Hayotzeis Osa Tamid Shal Shachar Umusafin. The one that's leaving does the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Musaf. Mishmara Nechneses Osa Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim. The new incoming Mishmar does the afternoon karban. Ubazichen and the frankincense that goes along with Lechem upon him. Not only that, but it says Arba Kohanim Hayu Nechnasim Sham. Four Kohanim would enter, Shnayim Mimishmar Zeh, Vishnayim Mimishmar Zu, each one from one of the Mishmaros, V'cholkin Lechem Apanim, and they would split the Lechem Apanim. Period. V'ilu Musafin Cholkin Lo Katani, and it doesn't mention that they split the Musafin, so this seems to be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda, who says they also split the Oros of the Musafin, T'yufta D'Rabbi Yehuda, T'yufta. So this is a proof against Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, they didn't split the Oros of the Musafin. Then we said, the incoming Mishmar would split their, they would get their distribution on the northern side. That was to show, it was very clear who the incoming one was, because as we said before, that most of the Koranas were brought on the Tzafon, and that was the more Chashav area, so that was the incoming people. They got the pomp and circumstance of getting a distribution in the more Chashav place. By Yotzin Cholkin Bedarom, they would get theirs in the south, Kadeshiru Shein Yotzin, to show that they were the ones on the out, leaving. And then finally, we're going to explain the mystery of why this Mishmeres of Bilga got shortchanged. They didn't get a place to put their knives. They didn't. They cemented up their ring. What was going on? And not only that, but Bilga Leolam Cholkes Bedarom, they always get their distribution in the south. Tan Rabbanan. This is based on a story. Maisa ben Miriam bas Bilga. There was a woman named Miriam, the daughter of Bilga. Shehimira data. She became an apostate. V'holcha v'niseis l'sargiot echad mimalche yevanim. She went and she married a royal person or like an attendant to one of the malche yevanim, the non-Jewish kings. Kishenichnisu yevanim leichal. And at the time of the Chashmonaim, when the Yevanim entered the Heichal to defile it, Haisa Miva'etes b'sandala al gavi mizbeach. She went and she kicked the Mizbeach with her shoe. V'amra Lucas Lucas, and she said, Lucas Lucas. What does Lucas Lucas mean? So Rashi says, Lucas means wolf, Ze'ev. The Marsha explains that the reason she called the Mizbeach a wolf is because the Mizbeach eats two sheep every morning. So she referred to it as a wolf. So she said, Lucas, Lucas, ad masai ata mechala mamonin shal Yisrael, v'ata omer aleihem b'shas hadchak. How long are you going to eat up the wealth of Israel, right? Here they have to bring these karbanos to the Mizbeach. It's a waste of money. And you don't even help them out. You don't even stand behind them when they're in trouble. So she was kind of very disrespectful to the Mizbeach, to the Mikdash. And when Chazal heard what was going on, when they heard that she was so disrespectful, Kavu es Tabasa, they closed up that ring of her family. Visasmu es Chalona, they plastered up that window where they would keep the knives. V'yesh Omrim Mishmarto Shoa Lavo. Period. That's what they did, the punishment. That was the thing that they did wrong. The Yesh Omrim, another version of what they did wrong, Mishmarto Shoa Lavo. They were always late in coming. This Mishmar Beis Bilga was always late in coming. V'nichnas Yishvav Achiv Imo V'shimish Tachtav. And the outgoing Mishmar of Yishvav, which was the one that preceded Bilga in time, they would always have to stay late, right? If you're a guard on duty and your replacement doesn't come, you end up having to stay late. And the same thing happened here with Yishvav, ended up having to stay late. Afal pisha shcheine harishoyim lo nishtachru, shcheine Bilga nishtachru. Normally, a shachin, the neighbor of a rasha, doesn't get a benefit. Here, the neighbor of Bilga, meaning Yishvav, the family next to it, got a benefit in the sense that they got to do more karbanos. They got to be misharis longer. And why is that? Shebilga liolum chalekes bedarim. Not only did they get to do the avodah longer, but they got more kavod, because Bilga would always get their distribution, even when they were the incoming mishmar. They would always go in the south, which meant that the outgoing would end up getting in the north. Yishvav achiv b'tzafon. They would always get in their murchashav place in the tzafon. So fine. That's two versions of what happened. Either this story with her kicking the mizbech, or the story of that they were always late in coming. So bishlom and the amr mishmarto shalava. We understand if they're always coming late. Hainu dekan sinan lukulei mishmar. Then we understand why the whole mishmar suffers and should be punished because they're always late. Miriam Basbilga Sheimiradata. If the story is just that this one person of that family became an apostate and then kicked the mizbech, why is the whole mishmar being punished? Mishum Barte Kansinan Lego Dide, because of Barte, they punished the whole family. Amrabai in Kadamrianshi Shusa Dianuka Bishuka Odavua Odime. If you were in the mall and you hear like a little kid using foul language, you know that that came from somewhere, right? It's not because this kid is a bad kid and the parents are upstanding citizens. If the kid's using bad language, it's probably because that's what he hears at home. And so the same is true here. Bilgo kicked him his back and said, Lucas, it's probably because that was what her parents were talking about behind closed doors at home. And that's why we punished the whole Mishmar, because, you know, the leaders of the Mishmar were no good, right? Shuka Yunuka, the dibur of a Yunuka, of a baby, Bishuka in the marketplace, Odavu Odime, really pertains to the father or the mother. That's where they hear it third. Umishum Avua Vime Kansinu Lakul Mishmara. I, just because of Bilga's father or mother that would use foul language, you're going to punish the whole Mishmar. Amarbai, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheno, Tovu Tzadik, Tovu Shcheno. Abaye says that when one person's bad, the whole kind of neighborhood's bad, all the neighbors are bad, kind of. Bad midos spread. Shenemar imru tzadik kito kipru malem yochu. The Marsha points out that the only thing that's relevant here is oil rasha oil shcheno. The badness spread. Then you don't have to say tovu tzadik tovu shcheno. The inverse is true also, that when you have a good person, that kind of that infects the whole neighborhood and that affects the neighbors. But Marsha says the Gemara wants to end off on a happy note, so we will say the inverse also to end off. So with that, Hadronach. Chalav v'slikol m'sech ha-sukkah. God willing, have to see him on Shabbos.
Mazel tov, everybody.
All right.